Go ahead. Bring up the mains just a little bit with the music.
Ooh. I can see your teardrops falling, and I know that you've got a broken heart. I know all the pain that you have been through, 'cause I've watched you from the very single start. So just let me into your heart and I will show you a love that never ends. 'Cause honestly, I'm the only one that can save you, and I'll be more than just a friend. And you can call my name, no matter where you are, and you can see my love shining from the stars. Yeah, you can call my name, and I will be right there, 'cause I am love itself, and I am everywhere. Oh,
little more music, Rob, if you can.
Oh, I am everywhere. Oh, I am everywhere. Oh, just call my name. You can call my name, call my name. You can call my name, just call my name. You can call my name, just call my name. Call my name and I'll be there. Oh, 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 I know that you're just human, and I know you're not perfect. Oh, but that's why I came, to give my life for you, to give my life for you. I know every heartache you've been through, and what's around the corner before you got a clue. How can I make you understand how much I love you? But I'll only come into your heart if you want me to. But long ago I opened up my arms so wide, 'cause you were worth it, worth giving of my own life. And I would do it all over again for you, 'cause my love is forever true. And you can call my name, yeah. Just call my name, come on, just call my name, and I'll be there. Oh, but do 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 do. Call my name, just call my name, and I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. Just call my name. Call my name and I'll be there for you. Yeah, I'll be there for you. Do 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 do. Just call my name and I'll be there just for you. Call my name and I will be there for you. Just call my name and I will be there right away for you. Just call my name and I won't be there for you. Just call my name and I won't be there for you. Call my name.
Amen. If you can mute the effects. I was trying not to do this without crying. Just want you to know that the first time my eyes started to water up is when I reached around and I started to squeeze your love handle. That's when I wanted to cry.
A little bit. I'm not going to preach, but I do want to share just a few scriptures. Nothing new. Nothing, well, it could be earth moving for you. We've been dealing with faith, and we will continue next week. But what has been rolling around in my heart and in my mind feel like it would be easy for a few of you here because of personal conversations via phone, happenstance setting, running and talking to you, that you could feel, and the few little things that I'm going to say, just exhortation, not necessarily a preaching message per se, but you could assume that how he's talking to me, this is target preaching. We had a conversation, therefore he's going to blast away. That's not the issue at all. It's not. This is something that I rather 2 weeks ago kind of semi-squelched because I had some things I wanted to get to. But just a reminder, we have been dealing with the subject of faith. And you need to understand how the devil works. This subject of faith has almost been made unpopular. All of the mean attacks of what the so-called word of faith movement, which is a misnomer, because there is no necessarily formed or organized word of faith movement. It's an attack on a group of people that are different backgrounds, different things that were affected by a teaching that predominantly came to us in the 70s, Brother Hagin and others, which told us the reality of what Jesus taught. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23 state this. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, "Have the faith of God." Look at the original, and he tells them, "Have the God kind of faith." How many know God does not put a demand on us without already providing everything we need to be able to walk in it? And then he says some very shocking things. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We'll have time in the future to deal more with this, but this issue of faith, how many know that when you begin to hammer these areas and individuals, some here this morning and some not, begin to step into faith, there is an enemy of your soul that will do everything he can to shut you down, to shut you up, to squelch you. He'll use people, circumstances, unexpected stuff, moods out of the blue. He'll use everything he can because God designed the believer to live by supernatural faith. And I'm not backing off of it. It may not be popular. We could talk about a lot of cute little things that could tickle ears, but the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And I don't think the time to back off of faith is when people, because they're embracing. How many in here are listening to me this morning, hearing in your heart? When you begin to embrace a truth and you begin to be challenged, it is the status quo to, after having fought a few days or a few months, to say, "Well, this doesn't seem to be working. In fact, I've opened up a can of worms and I'm getting hit harder than I ever have in my life. Something must be wrong. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to look for an optional route." I want to remind you today, the just. How many just we have in here today? Come on, people of God. How many just do we have? What do we mean by that? The word just in the King James speaks of righteous. How many know that because of what Jesus did, righteousness does not come to me through what I do, but it comes to me through what I have believed. Faith in Jesus' obedience made me righteous. Say, where do you get that from? Most of you ought to be able to quote this with me right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, "He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become," I'll insert "by faith," because that's the context of that whole chapter, "by faith and faith alone." Read Romans 4 and Romans 5. Extremely, explicitly, no doubts, clear, "by faith and faith alone. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many are in Christ? What about the rest of you? How many are in Christ? If you're not, we can have an altar call at the end. We will give an opportunity. Anyway, if you're not, man, there's no better time than right now. But the Bible says that if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, John simplified it. He said, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. That's about as simple as it gets. I don't care what your life looks like. I don't care what it's looked like since you did that. I don't care how much of a wreck. I don't care how much sin there is in your life and what a sinful mess you are. You know, a lot of people receive Jesus and then they received a lot of misinformation and feel that God is mad at them and have lived 25 years feeling in condemnation and feeling that God was angry and disapproved of them. And all of that law has worked havoc and confusion in their life. And their life is almost worse after they receive Christ than it was before. And that's biblical. But that doesn't mean they weren't born again. It means that something happened on the inside, but the confusion on the outside caused there to be a war. Paul speaks of, in the best case scenario, a war. Can you imagine somebody who gets born again and then they're fed a bunch of nonsense about how that you working on you will approve you before God? That's what 99% of religion is. You working on you to be approved of by God. Let me tell you something. God sent His Son in our place, a scapegoat, to fully 150% to take our place. And that man, the second Adam, God cut a covenant not with a man like Abraham anymore or with any other man, but He cut a covenant with the man, Jesus Christ, who represented us. And that man, who was not just man, fully 100% God, fully 100% man, the only one that could ever have taken our place. Paul put it this way, we who have believed, we were crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, excuse me. Isn't that something? Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life that I now live in the flesh. How many have discovered you're still in the flesh even though you're born again? There's a struggle there. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How are we made righteous? By faith in His obedience, not in your own. Your faith in His obedience will cause you to become more obedient by accident than you ever have been able to be on purpose. The just shall live by faith. Now, you're being challenged. Some of you are being challenged. And I want to say this now that you're back, because you're one of them. Some of you in here, because of conversations that we had, you're going to think I'm target preaching. I'm not target preaching. This has been rolling around for several weeks. And I told you, I just wanted to just exhort you this morning. But here's what I want you to remember. The just shall live by faith. And as we have challenged this, some of you have had an explosion in your life. And it's like, wait a minute, I've opened up a can of worms. Remember I said that earlier, and I want to repeat it. I'm repeating on purpose. I've opened up a can of worms, and we start looking for optional avenues. You stand, we're going to get to that in a minute, you stand in the face of that storm. You stand in the face of that adversity. You stand. I'm just going to read a volley of scriptures to you here in a few minutes. But here's what Jesus said to the disciples. He hadn't even died yet. This new covenant hadn't been ratified yet. He's speaking to men who are followers of his, but they haven't been born again yet. These are not born again men. And he's telling them, let me tell you something. You can right now have the faith of God, and here's what it looks like, and here's how it behaves. Mark chapter 11. Somebody, I have seen people literally roll their eyes when I have turned. Literally, in this church and in other places, roll their eyes when I went to the scripture. Something is very wrong when another man or another movement or another anything causes you to despise any part of the Word of God. This is not Kenneth Hagin, chapter 11, verse 23. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, you have the God kind of faith. I don't care what anybody else said. Your Bible says, look at your Bible. And he says to them, he says, verily, or of a surety, or this is without change, it is an immovable truth. Verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, let me explain to you what he means by a mountain. A mountain represents the impossible in your life. Do you have an impossibility? At least the devil has been whispering in your ear saying, I know what he said, but. I know what God said, but. The devil saying, did he not say? Okay, are you here today? I want to encourage you. Mountains represent an impossibility. Great victories. Everybody say it with me today. Great victories are not possible without great confrontations. Come on, people. Are you here today? I wish we had 10 times. But people don't want to hear this stuff. For the most part, it's sad. Because it puts some responsibility on the hearer. Wait a minute, you mean everything doesn't happen for a reason? No. You mean everything wasn't pre-purposed by God? No. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means that there are some things in life that come to you as an offering from the devil. You have people in your lives that mean well, but they will come alongside of you like Job and point you back to your failure or point you back to another time or point you back. Listen, we have an enemy, and the enemy is very real. I want to remind you of something today. Great victories are not possible unless there is a great battle. Come on, are you here today? A great battle. Hear with your hearts today what I'm saying. Listen, the devil will mount such a blast if he can cause the waves to roar and the wind to sound like the impossible. He will try to overwhelm you and get you to abandon your faith in the toughest hour. But God's word has made it clear. He has never seen the righteous. Listen, are you in here today? He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I demand together with you, I join as much as possible my faith with yours today, and the onslaught that some of you are facing, hear the voice of hope, hear the trumpet of faith blasting through. Stand in the impossible. Speak to your mountain. Open your mouth. When it is the worst, that is not the time to quit. That is the time to stand and say, I'm righteous not based on my works, but I'm righteous because of faith in Jesus, and the just live by faith. This is what the Bible says. That's why we're taking some time on it. Jesus says to men who are not even born again, read your own Bible. Read your own Bible. He says, I'm telling you of a surety that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I want you to know something real quick. You're either crazy or you've embraced a deep, deep truth that has surpassed your brain's ability to understand. In Jesus' name, I speak over you that are struggling. A depth of understanding. You'll embrace this to the point. You'll walk out of here today, rather suddenly, embracing a depth of understanding in faith. Listen, this isn't the time to weaken. Are you here today? We've been challenged in every, as a church, every way you can think of. Many of you individuals, listen, this isn't the time to back off. This is the time to rise above, to keep our mouth confession right, to keep strong, be strong in the Lord. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I said I wasn't preaching. Here I go. So anyway, listen, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but will believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have, listen, your Bible, Jesus is speaking, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I know that's been made unpopular. I know that's been attacked as word of faith doctrine. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one who said it. So you better leave it alone. We better start saying some things and speaking to our mountain and not backing off at all. Are you here today? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, nothing new here, but a reminder. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You think I'm yelling at you? I'm not. I'm championing with you. I'm loving you with you. I'm feeling the passion of my own battle. You think that this guy doesn't go through struggles? Are you kidding me? Cut me now. I bleed red. Please hold it till after the service. People would freak out. But if you cut me now, I bleed red just like you. But I've also seen and know to my core that regardless of who Lee is, he is good and his mercy endures forever. He will not forsake me or leave me. And I'm not only going through, I'm going over. Are you here today? You watch me go over. Now, I didn't say that to brag on me. I said that to encourage you to get some fight in you. Say, me too? Let's rock and roll. Okay, so here we go. Listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. We're going to start with 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after or according to the flesh. If you're a people pleaser, I wish I had time to dwell on this. I won't this morning. But that is an endless pit. You will never, ever please enough other people to make you feel good about anything. So stop trying. I'm not saying don't be nice. You should be nice. We should be the nicest people in town. We should be the most friendly, gracious people. Grace should make me gracious. Are you here today? But if you're locked into pleasing others, then you're also locked into being hurt by others. And others become your enemy. When your enemy is not others, your enemy is the devil. You need to start talking to your enemy. You need to start speaking to those things, those mountains in your life. Get your eyes off people. Let me move on. For the weapons... See, although we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, listen, people of God, he's talking to you this morning. If you're fighting after the flesh, I tried it, Pastor Lee, but it's just so hard and it's not working. And so for the people of faith, there's not another option. Stand. We'll get to that in a moment. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. You got to have these memorized. For the weapons of our warfare are not after the flesh, but they are mighty. Everybody say mighty. Mighty. Say it twice. Mighty. Now shout it out. The weapons of your warfare are mighty. Who lied to you? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a military term for a place in your mind that the enemy has gained position in and is not going to let go. And a lot of those positions look like this. I remember being there at the Golan Heights and walking through the caves where Israel made her stand. I got lost in there, believe it or not, people. I don't know how I got out. I got away from the group. I was fascinated. And there were no markings, no lights, no nothing. A stronghold on a mountain that could not be unrooted. And you know what a lot of the strongholds in our mind look like? It looks simply like this. Yes, but. I know, but. Let the Holy Spirit help you with that. Till we begin to say, in the face of what seems like blasting defeat, the grace of God causes me to stand and say, I don't care what it looks like. Let God be true and every man a liar. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations. Do you know that fear is an imagination of something that hasn't happened yet? And many people live their whole lives reacting to fear. Say with me, I'm righteous. Come on, say it with me, people all over. I'm righteous by faith in the blood that overcame every enemy. Come on, say it like you mean it one more time. I'm righteous by faith in the blood that overcame every enemy. That's good news. But mighty through God of the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing, verse 5, that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience. There's only one man you need to be concerned about. Not concerned, but have your mind on, and that is Jesus' obedience. You're a people pleaser, you're going to be in trouble. My desire is to have faith in His obedience. He was obedient in my place when I couldn't be. I still can't be. I try my best because I love Him and I want to be a good example. And more than ever before, now there's a freedom to do that. But you want to know something? His love for me is not based on that. His love for me is based solely and completely on this. I put my faith in the one who stood in my place, who got it right and was obedient. Now looking to Him, Hebrews 12:2, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I guess this is kind of a preaching. I mean, what is exhortation anyway, right? Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, it's not teaching per se, but I want to encourage you in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 10. I defy the enemy that would challenge your faith and try to make you fall back and fall away and sink and be swallowed up in Jesus' name. Are you here today? Listen to what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. I'm not going to go this morning through, where'd my water go? Through all of the armor. But what I will give you is a Bible study for this week. Go study Ephesians 6, the armor of God, and you will find out that every piece of armor has to do with your knowledge of Christ. Every piece of armor is not you putting on laboriously like David was commanded to put on the armor of Saul, something that is uncomfortable. No, what this means is let your knowledge submit to the knowledge of God. This is what James is saying in James 4:7. Write it down. Don't forget it. James 4:7. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Paul is saying the same thing. We submit our knowledge to the knowledge of God. That's how you put on armor. And then he gives a descriptive picture of what it is. A helmet of salvation. A breastplate of righteousness. Your loins girded about with truth. Shod with the preparation of the gospel. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit. Most people don't know that's part of the armor. It goes right on. There's more there. Praying in the Holy. Every instance where it talks about praying in the Spirit in the New Testament, it's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. That gift that comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So listen. Look at what he says here though. So that's what the armor is all about. Go through and look at it. Study it this week. I challenge you. Don't be overwhelmed. The devil doesn't like our theme on faith. And if he can get you to back up and cow down and crawl in a corner and go back to your old thinking that it's not worth it, whatever happens, happens because there's a reason for it. That's nonsense. Colossians tells us that the God of this world, listen to me this morning, some of you that are maybe may never be with us again, your Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe so that they cannot see the truth. That means that right now the planet Earth is under a curse and the one who is creating all of this chaos is not our God who is sovereign over everything, but because he honors his word, when the first Adam gave up the world through sin, the world still suffers and groans, Paul said, in travail, awaiting for the day of its redemption from the God of this world. Now, you and I don't have to submit to the God of this world or his antics. Through the name of Jesus, 1 John 4:4, somebody write that down. 1 John 4:4 says that as he is, Jesus, seated at the right hand in power and victory, as he is, so are you. Come on, are you here this morning? So are you in this world. Your Bible, this isn't me. I'm not up here ranting. Your Bible says these things about you. Open your mouth in the name of Jesus and call some shots. We doing all right? Okay. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deceptions of the devil. He's not going to come to you in a red suit with a pointy tail and a pitchfork with horns. He will find that which is familiar to you and start applying pressure to the familiar. I'm going to back up and say that again because some of you need to hear that. He's not going to come to you through the obvious concept of the devil. He will find that which is familiar to you. Something that you're used to and start putting pressure there. And you won't recognize it as him unless you're walking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? I'm righteous by faith in Jesus. So this is not from God. And if it's not from God, I need to start dealing with the enemy. Who is the enemy? Verse 12. Listen, people of faith, I know we've heard this for years, but most of us, we hear it and it's just like, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, I have to remind myself of this daily, Darlene. My flesh so wants to explain. My flesh so wants to justify. My flesh so wants to find an option. But we who are of faith live. Are you here today? Live by faith. And it's the faith of Jesus given to us when we put our faith in Him. Look at what He says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. See, there are levels. There's an organized army against you. We started proclaiming faith in this church. A lot of grace teaching. I thank God for the grace message because it's the core of everything we believe. But there's a lot of people that misinterpret it. And grace as a message won't ruffle many feathers. It'll make a lot of people feel good because they're not catching the real message. But the minute that grace now empowers me to step into the battle, that's where the devil, as long as you're getting the God loves you, he's good with it. But the minute you start taking his territory through the love of God, he's going to say, wait a minute. I like grace as long as you were just quiet in your bubble bath, but you're challenging my ground now. I'm letting you have a volley. See how much you believe this grace stuff. For it is by grace through faith that I started a supernatural journey. Whew. I'm real glad for Jesus today. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Pastor Lee, this is a little weird for a Sunday morning. I know that's exactly where the church has gone, and that's why we have masses of people who live in defeat. Time we change the tide. I like it. A revival that the devil himself will pray, this has got to come to an end. Your Bible says against spiritual wickedness in high places. I got a question for you, people of God. No excuses, no plan around. Who's your enemy? Then you better start identifying him. Open your mouth and take authority. You say, but I can't. I'm just a young Christian. I don't know that much. Pastor Lee, you're just, if you've been born again, it's there. So where do you find that at? Well, I happen to have, oh surprise, a scripture to back it. I will every time. You won't hear opinion here. Turn with me to 1 John 5. We're going to start with verse 1. Time's sake, because I told you I wouldn't preach and it's 11:45. I'm 15 minutes past what I thought I'd do. But how many are glad we went here? How many have been in a battle? It's time to stand up on your hind legs. You know you have hind legs? You better find your hind legs and stand. He's a liar and the truth is not in him, Mr. Chad Nanke. He is a liar and the truth is not in him, Mr. Tom Shaw. He's a liar and the truth is not in him. The truth is God is greater. Come on, Lori. Yes, but I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus and submit it to my faith in the obedience of the righteous one who causes me to be righteous. And this righteous man, this righteous woman lives by faith. I'll not be intimidated. I'll not back up. I'm not going to look back. You're a liar, and greater heights, deeper depths will be found as I persist in faith. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, John Sweat, is born of God. Religion has made that complicated. John just cut to the chase. How about it, Bob Weir? Is that simple enough for you? Whosoever believeth that Jesus, the Christ, is born of God. Excuse me, that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that beget, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is not the old law. This is the promise that we as believers keep his commandments of love. A new commandment give I you. This is not the law. New set under the new covenant. Wonderful laws of liberty. Jump to verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God, are you ready to shout? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. I have a question for you. What's the world? The planet? Rocks? Somebody said when God was creating the world, he got done and he had all these leftover rocks and boulders. He didn't know what to do with them, so he threw them down in a place called Arizona. And I love my rocks and boulders. I love them, I love them, I love them. Okay, so he's not talking about the physical world. He's talking about your enemy. Who'd we just read was your enemy? Listen. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. How many overcomers we got in the place? I'm counted every day for slaughter. Feel like that? Counted every day for slaughter. But I'm more than a conqueror, Romans 8 tells us. Through him who loved me, yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Say with me, I'm more than a conqueror. Say with me out loud, it is not over yet. I mean, remember the first Rocky film. They always overdo it. I mean, remember the first Rocky film. Eye of the Tiger. Dump, 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 dump. Dump, dump, dump. Dump, dump, dump. Now, please stop, Pastor. I don't want to. I'm in charge. Dump, dump, dump. Dump, dump. Eye of the Tiger. I mean, knocked out, blown open, busted eye, impossible odds. He comes back. But let me tell you something. Your life in Jesus is not a movie based on a human script. It is something that was written before eternity passed. It's forever settled in heaven. Your victory is assured if you'll stand. You're going to get it anyway, but I mean in this life. When it's the worst, remember, great victories happen because of great challenges. You're in a great challenge. You have a mountain in front of you. Stand and defy your enemy. Open your mouth. Get your confession back right. Get angry. And sin not. That's what he told you. That's what he told you. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Read your Bible. Do you see what your Bible's saying right there? And this is, not gonna be, your victory already is. Say, my victory already is. That is not black vernacular. Could be. I think it's awesome. But my victory is. Is. Not gonna be, it is. Yo, bro, it is. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Are you ready to shout it out with me? Even our faith. Say it again. Even our faith. Come on, let that settle down in you. This ought to make you mad enough to want to fight. For Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And in so doing, we would lay hold right here in planet Earth on eternal life right here and now. Medically, it is impossible that I'm standing here in front of you. I will not bore you with my testimony. For those of you that have heard it umpteen times. But you cannot have a main artery femoral high in your left leg. I can show you the scars. I won't now. I won't embarrass anybody, but they're right here. High in my left leg, smashed into a cinder block wall. Everybody there to observe it. Holmes Regional, now changed their name, in Melbourne, Florida. Do not understand at all why I am alive. Main artery, main vein, as big as your thumb, completely severed in two. I was supposed to be dead in less than 1 minute. They don't know why I have a leg. They don't understand why I'm alive. But there was one little lady, my wife, who stood on the scene, jumped up and down, spinning in a circle, praying in other tongues, shouting and calling on another power that is greater than your fact in this world. I had a fact that was going to kill me, but there was a truth that was greater. And in a time of impossibility, when the word was strong, we overcame. Listen, shout it with me. I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ. This feels like an old Pentecostal service. Hyping us up. If that's all this is to you, if that's all this is to you, you're the call that I get. Pastor Lee, I don't know what happened or why. Everything's busted. I got people, the ones that bug you the most, and I love them, and I'll keep loving them, and I'll keep speaking in their life, but the ones that bug me the most, you don't ever see them in church. They're missing it here this morning. They don't know how to fight. They don't know how to arm themselves, and they are absolutely vulnerable to every wile of the devil. By grace, through faith, we live. And it, Paul said, it's through the foolishness of preaching. I feel like I go till 1 o'clock. I'm a half hour over. Anybody mad at me? No. Hope not. Okay. I got to quit. I pray in Jesus' name that I'm laying a Holy Ghost charge in you. I was laying there in the hospital bed, and they had a list this long. You'll never be on a horse again. I'm here to tell you, I've cowboyed for over 20 years, sat horses for 12 and 15 hours straight. They said, you'll never be on a horse again. You'll never be sitting in a car for more than 20 minutes. I remember in fear and in pain, not understanding, my wife walking in there and slamming a Bible on my chest and saying, you will believe this. God has spoken to me. After about 2 weeks of stupidity, I started believing her and believing him. And I'd lay there in my bed, them telling me that my veins were never going to be the same and I was going to be on medication all my life. And I remember laying there and the only thing I could do was sit there and pump my foot, push my foot against the bed. I lay there and push my foot. In Jesus' name, I'm going to have my leg back. Mr. Shaw, you'll never have more than 25% motion of your leg. In Jesus' name, I'm going to have all of my leg. I'm going to have all of my leg. You got to stand in your evil day. There's no such thing as sissy faith. And a lot of people have confused grace faith as sissy faith. Let me tell you something. Grace is the power of God inside you to believe him for the impossible. I got a word for you. Psalms 91. Come on, are you here today? Psalms 91. Here's the promise to you at the end of Psalms 91. Because he has set his love upon me. You want to know something? There was a complete inversion of that verse when Jesus died and was resurrected, because it's no longer based on my love set on him, but he has set his love on me, and now I can't help but set my love on him. This is a double-clad promise of God. Say it with me. Double-clad. Come on. Double-clad promise of God for me. Listen to what he says. because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, Dad, will I deliver him and will set him on high because he hath known my name. How many in here confess the name of Jesus? Come on, Jesus. Shout it out, Jesus. Jesus. You ashamed of that name? Then shout it out, Jesus. Come on, name above every name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. In trouble? I will be with him in trouble and honor him. You in trouble? You in a big mess of your own making? Have you failed? Have you made some promises and blown it? You're in trouble. He says, I'll with you, I'll be with you, and I will honor you simply because you've set your love on me. Nothing else. Think about it. With long life will I satisfy him and show him. Are you ready today? Show him my salvation. Verse 1 of the next chapter, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. Verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man, somebody who's stupid, doesn't know this. Neither doth a fool understand this. Mine eyes shall see. Verse 11, my desire on my enemies. My ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up. You got some stuff coming against you today? Open your mouth and stand. This isn't the time to weaken. Stand. Verse 13, those that be planted, 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. This is Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. How many are planted in the house of the Lord? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I'm sorry for going long, but I can't stop. I'm going to read you another one. Psalms 34, verses 17, 18, and 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Hear with your spirit today. He delivers you out of all of your troubles. The Lord is near them that are of a broken heart and saves them of a contrite heart. Many are the afflictions. Come on, you feel afflicted this morning? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Are you here today? Stand today and shout. Say, thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. Come on, are you here today?
Let's do this, ready for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, God. Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Hold up. I know he's ready. Have you received something today? Come on. Are you here today? You ready to fight? I want you to reach your hands heavenward today. I'm going to pray for you. I know we're way over. We're way late. I don't know that I really care that much, though. Listen close. Hold off. I want to pray so they can hear me. I want you to reach out and agree with me. Here's what Jesus said. If any two should agree. How many are in trouble? In a struggle? Come on. Let's stand together today. Let this be your mantra through this next week as we continue to challenge the devil in the area of faith. For the just shall live by faith. Hands heavenward, in the name of Jesus, we stand as believers agreeing. Satan, we defy your work. We speak to this mountain. Come on, open your mouth. Let your neighbor hear you. I speak to this mountain in the name of Jesus. I tell you, come on, open your mouth. It may sound like impossible in your ears, but speak the word of God. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I call strength and life into my situation. I call the defeat. Here's what Isaiah 54 says, that every weapon that is formed against you shall fail in its ability to do you any harm. Say, I'll take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And having done, listen to the Spirit of God talk to you this morning. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. I thank you that the power of the enemy is broken. That the name of Jesus is higher than any named situation. And that the people of God live by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Now listen, listen. We're going to dismiss right now with this song. But we're going to remain up here. You got a struggle? You want somebody to pray with you and lay hands on you, speak to you, and lead you into relationship with Jesus, whatever the case may be, we're here to do that. Even though we're dismissing and others are leaving, we're here, we're remaining to take time with you and to pray with you.